Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by RamVPN.com, the leading provider of next-generation online anonymity and VPN security solutions. Their architecture is unique, tamper-safe, and 100% guaranteed. They even accept Bitcoin. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Show can receive a 15% discount in 3-month and 6-month personal plans by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. For more promotional offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. The state of Colorado is once again in the news regarding legislation that will impact applicators as well as beekeepers. The Sunset Review hearing for the Pesticide Applicators Act is scheduled to take place on Wednesday, January 21st of this year. There's been a great concern by the beekeeping community, scientists, and concerned citizens that the legislation does little to protect or improve the existing law. On today's show, Beth Conry will be joining me to talk about what this means for beekeepers, as well as my special guest co-host, Mr. Tom Theobald. So first, I'd like to welcome to the show, Tom Theobald. Hello, Tom.
Hello, June.
And our featured guest today, Beth Conry. Good afternoon, Beth.
Good afternoon, June. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for taking the time, Beth. Now, Beth, can you share with our listeners a little bit about the Colorado State Beekeepers Association? How many beekeepers does it represent?
So the Colorado State Beekeepers Association is the oldest and largest group in Colorado. It was formed in 1880 and was officially put into a corporation in 1888. At present, we have somewhere in the range of 1,700 to 1,800 members.
Thank you. Now,
and then those members Go ahead.
Finish, please.
I said those members represent all aspects of the beekeeping community, from 2 hive owners to 2,000 hive owners.
Thank you. Now, currently, the sunset review time period is 10 years. Tom, perhaps you can explain to our listeners why there's such an extremely long time to review this. I mean, even the IRS takes less time, but if you could also share a little bit of the history.
Sure, I'd be glad to. This will be my 40th year of beekeeping, so I have some experience with this advisory committee, and it's curious at best. We've had to deal with pesticides from the very beginning, and that's the reason that we formed the Boulder County Beekeepers Association in October of 1975. At that time, we had little power. We don't have much more power today, but our intent was to try to be cooperative and avoid the damages from pesticides. And we created one of the first and leading spray alert programs in the United States, and we coordinated with the aerial applicators. They would call us the night before. We would do our best to protect the bees. And in about 1993, a pesticide that had been a serious problem in the 70s returned to the market. It had been sold to a French oil company. It was encapsulated parathion, and we began to fight that battle. And we went round and round with the Colorado Department of Agriculture. We were getting little help. They were doing their best to avoid the problem, dismiss the problem. Finally, CSU appointed a mediator, a very nice lady, and she did some investigation, and she called me one day and she said, "Tom, I think I found the answer to these communication problems." And I said, "Really? What's that?" She said, "It's called the Pesticide Advisory Committee. And it's intended to deal with just these kinds of things." I said, "Well, who's responsible for it?" she gave me the name, and it was the very lady at the Colorado Department of Agriculture who was in charge of the pesticide programs that we'd been dealing with for probably a year and a half or 2 years. Never once had she even suggested that there was such an advisory committee. So they've done their best to keep it a secret. It's no longer a secret, but what it is really is it's intended to give the illusion of oversight when there really is little or none. We're still facing huge pesticide problems, and they're doing very little to help. And we've tried to get a beekeeper on that advisory committee for more than 20 years and have been continually thwarted. So the review is for 10 years because they couldn't get away with 20 years.
But that's ludicrous. There is not one beekeeper on this advisory committee?
No. Never has been.
How is that even possible?
Well, they did it. It's possible. They did it. And there are other affected communities that are not represented on it as well. It's primarily represented by the applicating industry and the applicators.
Now, correct. As a part of the Pesticide Applicators Act, this Pesticide Applicators Advisory Committee was formed, and the advisory committee membership is currently 11 people, 7 of them applicators, 2 of them members of the public, 1 from CSU specializing in pesticide safety, which is currently an extension agent, and 1 member of the Colorado Department of Public Health.
Now, Beth, could you explain what the reporting process for applicators is, and is there a database which includes fines, instances, etc.?
Okay, so applicators are required to keep reporting documentation of their applications. That database is required presently for 3 years, although the sunset review process suggested that it be changed to 2 years to match federal requirements. But even though the applicator is required to keep the data on the applications, the applicator is not required to make those reports public.
So how is the information supposed to be ascertained?
It isn't.
It isn't, correct.
Wow.
There is a small group that has a process in place, and that is chemically sensitive individuals have the opportunity to sign up on a list and get called being a member of that list. But that's the only group that falls into a category that allows for that type of information to be transferred to them.
And that is not publicly available?
I don't know about the chemically sensitive persons list being publicly available, but at least the list is available to the applicators so that they and mandated that they addressed, their concerns are addressed through that process. But beekeepers, organic farmers, kids, all sorts of other people that would be potentially adversely affected by pesticides do not have that mechanism in place.
What do you mean by kids, Beth? I've heard people concerned about these sprays being applied around schools and things like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I am. Okay, so there's a long track record of documented risks associated with pesticide exposure in children. And that children's health issues are not addressed in the current version of the Pesticide Applicators Act, nor are they proposed to be addressed in the next version of the Pesticide Applicators Act, which would be in effect from 2015 to 2025.
Beth, you and several others in several groups spent a year going through this legislation and making what seemed to me to be some very sensible recommendations. How were those handled? What was the response?
I too felt that we had made some reasonable recommendations. We tried to stick fairly middle of the road. We were rebuffed on nearly all fronts in that the report that came out of DORA and went to the legislature that is coming up for discussion at the legislature did not contain any of the requests that we had made to DORA. There was some requests that were made, but not necessarily in the some requests that were handled, but not necessarily in the manner in which they were requested. So, for example, we asked that the Pesticide Advisory Committee have an increased balance on it, and they increased the number from 11 to 13, but did not add in a beekeeper or a health professional with respect to children's health issues.
Wow. This is just amazing that this is going on in Colorado. I'm just curious if there are any other states that are experiencing the same dysfunction. Do you have any idea, Beth?
I do not. I know that there are some other states that have made some significant strides with respect to school issues. Texas and Utah do a better job of actually mandating integrated pest management for schools in those states.
New York does as well. Yeah.
Yes, and so I'm more familiar with the Western groups. Certainly, or Western states, I should say, Oregon and then selected cities are also making changes to their pesticide regulations based on both science and public support for those changes.
Wow, that's very interesting. And
it is that it's nice that communities can do that. So, you know, you can get Portland and Seattle and various cities that are able to actually make changes to pesticide law, but that too is precluded in the Pesticide Applicators Act here in Colorado. The state has primacy, and there is no local control allowed on pesticides.
What is your plan of action as far as changing that?
We are going to try and meet with the Senate Agricultural Committee on the review this next week on Wednesday. It is a limited time hearing. We plan to make hard copies of the suggestions that were put forth to DORA, so that the committee understands what requests were made that did not get into the DORA report.
Beth, I'm just curious, what is the response from the beekeeping community, which you represent, as far as this whole review? They've got to be outraged.
Well, I certainly am, and disappointed, too. Beekeepers are a diverse lot, so some are much more politically active than others are, and that works against us in situations such as this where we could really use a united force.
What do you hope will happen at this upcoming meeting? Or hearing, should I say?
The hearing is strictly preliminary, and it's taking place in the Senate. So it has a long way to go to wend its way through Colorado State Legislature. So we're just going to navigate those waters as best we can and see if we get a better outcome at the end of them.
Well, thank you, Beth. It'll be certainly, it will be very interesting to see what happens. Tom, since you have four decades of experience, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that they'll make the necessary changes or continue to continue this dysfunction?
Well, I was thinking as Beth was talking, and I was trying to remember when my first contact was with the advisory committee. It was about 1992, and the EPA was surveying states to determine the level of their pesticide problems, and we were having serious pesticide problems at that time. We all have throughout my entire 40 years, and what amazed me and drew my attention to this subject is that the state of Colorado, the Colorado Department of Agriculture, did not even respond to the EPA. The conclusion on the part of the EPA was that Colorado had no problems. Of course, I couldn't let that stand, but this group has, its main mission has been to keep down the interference with the chemical form of agriculture. And understand, I'm not a zealot. I understand that chemistry has a place, but there need to be some sanctions and some rules, and there aren't.
Well, it also needs to be a little bit fair. It seems really strange that there isn't one beekeeper.
Well, the point I want to make, though, is that we're fighting fires here. We're trying to change these from the bottom, from the citizen level, and that's certainly appropriate. But this Pesticide Advisory Act and the advisory committee has been misused, not because the people on there are necessarily evil or the people in the Colorado Department of Agriculture are evil. It's because they're carrying out instructions. This Pesticide Applicators Act and the advisory committee is being misused because of direct instructions from middle and upper management. I can only conclude that working level people are not making decisions like this. They're being told to do what they're doing, and it's wrong, and it needs to be changed, and the Colorado legislature needs to take a hard look at what its role has been in this.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Beth, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today. It's, as I said, it'll be interesting to see how this pans out.
Well, thank you, June, for having me.
And Tom, thanks again for your contribution as well.
Thanks, June. Thanks to both of you.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Please check out the companion article, which will be available on theorganicview.com. Have a great afternoon, everyone.